Folks, you can support the hardest working sports talk show in South Florida through Cash App or Venmo. Just search Cash Big O Show. Support us through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. We thank you for your incredible support.
All right, we are back. Chris, how you feeling, baby?
Everything's great. This is an awesome week. I feel more energy when it's draft week. And I'm now kind of getting to the point, middle portion of draft week, that I'm just ready for the draft to be here. But thanks for having me again, O.
No, man, it's always good to have you on, dude. You do an excellent job, as always. That's why I love bringing you on during the draft time. And I know it's like Christmas right now.
Yes.
That's what I call it this year, this week. Is it's basically Christmas for the NFL fans, NFL teams, all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And for you, it's like a year-round thing because you're tracking the draft, you're tracking the young players, all that kind of stuff for CBS. So for you, it's kind of the draft and then the progress of it.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what's kind of how my job has evolved at CBS Sports. Started off just as a draft analyst, but then I was watching 250 to 300 prospects every year, and suddenly they're rookies, then they're in their second season. Tracking that development to see if these guys are worthy of getting second deals or if they're busts or, you know, those diamonds in the rough fifth, sixth, seventh round that become quality players. It's really fun to continue to track them once they get into the NFL, along with tracking the next year's draft class every year.
You mean like a third rounder like Devon Achane?
Yeah, someone like him. Yeah, we're overlooked a little bit, but had he not gotten hurt, I think he would have really battled with CJ Stroud to win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, man. And dude, he's headed for a payday. That's for damn sure. I mean, he is as explosive as it gets. And it looked like he added a little bit more muscle. Mm. You know, he was built well. It's kind of like Kader Kohou, who came out of Division II, and he already had an NFL body. When I was at camp, and you're there, you go to the locker room and you're like, holy shit, this guy's Division II. And it's like, that's why he's such a great tackler. He's actually the best tackler we have in the secondary here. When we watch the Dolphins, he's the best tackler that they have easily in the secondary. He is nasty. I think he'll actually play better now in the Weaver system. I don't know. It just seemed like young guys didn't flourish nearly as much with the old man. And so it's kind of those, I almost think like he needs that change of scenery where he gets to attack more and be more physical, which I think that's more of the Baltimore way than the Fangio way, which is more reading and reacting. But it's funny how some of these kids come out and they're kind of under the radar, Kohou a couple years ago, and now we see Achane. But yet, if you look at them, they're also physically, they've been, you know, pretty built for this level.
Yeah, that's a great point to bring up. I usually think about offensive linemen. I always write in my scouting reports that prospects are not necessarily NFL strong once they get to the NFL. And it's usually we think it in the trenches. But to bring up Kohou, to bring up Achane, I think for all players, it takes probably at least one full year in an NFL strength and conditioning program to get to the level of strength and just physicality, even if you're coming from the SEC like Achane was, or you're coming from Texas A&M Commerce, it takes a year to get as strong as you need to be to max out your body physically to meet the demands of not just making a tackle in week one or week two, but the rigors of a now 18-week schedule and now into the playoffs. So I think that's a good point that we can talk about offensive and defensive linemen need to add weight, gain weight, get stronger. But it really goes for all the positions.
Dude, O-linemen, sometimes it takes them more than a year.
Yeah.
Kind of really get to where they need to go. Some O-linemen sometimes take a couple of years because they really come in light on the shorts and they've got to really build up. And then the strength that they have to build up in order to hold these grown-ass D linemen that need to pay for four houses and three girlfriends. You know, those are hungry dogs that you've got on the other side of the line. So it's, even linemen. So look, Austin Jackson's one that it took him a couple years to kind of – he had bad coaching early on. He didn't – nobody helped him early on. These guys that we see now with the Dolphins, these guys understand offensive line play. They're getting the max out of anybody that lines up, actually. So these guys, they helped. They made Austin Jackson what he is now, bro. They did an awesome job with him because he was headed for complete bustville.
Yeah, he certainly was. And I think he is, and we're going to hear a lot about this in the first round and throughout the draft. He is the prime example of big-time athlete with all the size, all the measurables that you would want at a specific position, offensive tackle for Austin Jackson, and just needed to be well-coached, needed to get stronger, and it took time, and it took the right coaching staff to get the most out of him. We will hear and see the names of these kind of raw specimens who need that once they get to the NFL. If they don't get it, they're going to ultimately bust out of the league or turn into role players or just never really make it. But if you have the physical tools like in Austin Jackson, there is an outcome where you can be a high caliber player like he showed he was last season.
Yep, I'm with you there. By the way, you can follow him on Twitter at Chris Trapasso at CBS Sports. He does an excellent job if you want to follow the draft. Let's get into Miami's first round pick. And one of the themes that I've been using is you never want to draft just for need. That's super dangerous. You want to take the best player. But the beauty for the Dolphins is they need help on O-line and D-line, whether it's in the middle of the D-line, whether it's pass rusher or O-line, whether it's guard, or if you want to plan for post Teron Armstead next year, a guard that can play tackle. And by the way, Chris, I am of the thinking Austin Jackson hasn't improved just a little bit. He's improved so much that I believe eventually he's the guy that swings to left. Yep. And then whoever they draft actually can either play inside this year and then next year can actually pop to the right. Because knowing Chris Greer, he loves to make deals where he gets that second-year contract or he gets a guy underpriced or something like that. And what would be better than you just sign Austin to an extension for right tackle, and now you move him over to left and you're paying him right tackle money while you're paying a rookie or a second-year player at that moment to play right tackle. So I think there's that in the cards in the future. So I'm going to ask you, with those kind of intentions, if you would think of it in that intention, or somebody that straight up you think is a left tackle, talk to me at 21. What is realistic in Chris Trapasso's eyes that would be there at 21?
Well, what's good for the Dolphins truly is a lot of those needs that you outlined, it kind of aligns with the talent that's going to be on the board. And it's really going to be up to Mike McDonald and Chris Greer, or Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer, to be able to say, do we want an edge rusher? Do we want an offensive tackle that can play guard, like you mentioned? Do we want an interior pass rusher? I think this offensive tackle class is as good as the wide receiver class. So there's going to be a premier, probably right tackle, whether that's a Amarius Mims from Georgia. Do they love Graham Barton from Duke, who can play guard or tackle? JC Latham from Alabama could be available as well. One of the big four edge rushers is at Florida State's Jared Verse. Is it UCLA's Laiatu Latu? I mean, really, when you think about it, those positions, they meet need and value together. And that's like what you were saying. You don't want to only draft for need. But in this class, I think the Dolphins are really set up right kind of in the middle of the first round, where the premier players, at least a few of them at those two spots, will be available. And don't be surprised if they even lean toward interior defensive line after losing Christian Wilkins, with either Byron Murphy from Texas or Johnny Newton from Illinois, two up the field pass rushers that I think can be 50 to 60 pressure, 8 to 10 sack interior defensive linemen. So they're almost in a position where they can sit back, let the draft come to them, and then really have their, I don't want to say pick of the litter, but there will be multiple quality players that will be correct value at 21 at offensive tackle, edge rusher, and most likely on the interior of the defensive line.
All right. So, Chris, what do you think is realistic? Like, you've mocked it. What two players you think they could realistically end up with?
I think JC Latham from Alabama, either he or Amarius Mims, one of those two I think will be on the board. It's hard to peg, and from asking around the league, some teams love the upside with Amarius Mims, but he only played in 8 games last year. There's some injury concerns. JC Latham was just a steady player, used to play right guard at Alabama, kicked over to right tackle, which maybe that is in the cards for the future of this Dolphins and offensive they, line, they like you're mentioning. Bama
players. Miami yes. love Chris Greer loves Bama players.
Yeah, I think J.C. Latham makes a ton of sense. The one name that I think maybe if they trade back and they just see, wow, there's just a glut of talent available, let's move back a little bit. Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon is really interesting to me because he's a center, but he's like 6'3", 335. He could play guard early in his career, can take the place of Robert Hunt, and then eventually kick over to center if he needs to. So those two names, those two or three, I think up front, I think with an offensive-minded head coach that has his roots in the ground game and all of the intricacies that he does with the zone blocking scheme, mixing it up really well from his time with Kyle Shanahan that we saw was kind of an underrated part of how good the Dolphins offense was last year. It's just how great the run game and how efficient the run game was. I think he's going to lean more toward let's get a quality, talented player up front on the offensive side. And then, like you said, maybe the two-year plan is Austin Jackson is the left tackle in 2025 and your first rounder from 2024 is playing right tackle.
You know, dude, you hit on something that last night I was talking to a scout and he goes to me, Powers will fall past 21. So apparently
that's kind of the thought, yeah.
That's what you're thinking. And he was thinking the same thing. And he goes, if Miami wants to, they can actually drop down if they want Powers. If they want one of the interior linemen, other guys, whether it's a guard or tackle or a pass rusher, they're going to have to stay right there and get the guy. But if they want Powers, they can drop down. And then when I finished and I hung up with him, I thought about this and I said, son of a bitch. If they do that because they want to get an extra pick in the third round or some shit like that, then they move down to 25 or 27 and they still draft Powers. And because they drafted, because they signed the Brewer kid from the Titans, what they do is Brewer is so athletic that he can move to the second level quickly. And in this zone scheme, you kind of need guys that can move quickly. Yeah. And because this guy Powers can play center, he can back up Brewer just in case something happens. It gives Tua the depth that he has in, as a quarterback to have a reliable center as a backup also, because that's Powers' natural position. Meanwhile, he's playing guard. He can see the calls being made, learn everything, and he's athletic. So it kind of adds to everything that they're trying to do at that spot. So they stay athletic at guard. They're grooming their future center. They have a current center now that can actually play the scheme that they want, because in this scheme, you've got to be really athletic at center, actually. They want people that can move around and get to the second level. If you, they don't like road graders in this system. You got to be a little lighter and more athletic in this system. So this guy's kind of a bigger guy, but he's still an agile guy. So it kind of makes sense that if you see Miami move down a couple spots, you triggered it, dude. It might be a Powers thing.
And what I think, too, is the last two drafts, the Dolphins have only made 8 total picks. They've seen some of those picks get poached off their practice squad. So when you're kind of all in, you have Tua's deal coming up. You lose Christian Wilkins, but you have Tyreek Hill getting up there in age, but still an elite receiver. Jaylen Waddle's contract coming up as well. I think it's smart to replenish the roster, like you're mentioning, to have the backup center who's playing guard, who's going to eventually be your center. It wouldn't be beyond just finding the right player in the first round, trading back to, like you mentioned, maybe get an extra third round pick to add the cheaper talent that you can add to this roster that's young and doesn't have a lot of mileage and injury history on its legs. I think that makes a lot more sense, especially for a team that is so much in win now mode, but again, has not had a lot of draft capital the last two drafts to be able to kind of fill in those reinforcements.
And Chris, I know you talked about Jared Verse. I mean, I love him, dude, but I just kind of feel we need to put a crack pipe in front of him to see for him to fall at 21. But do you really think he can be there at 21? Because I kind of like, I actually love Latu, and I actually think Latu might be. So in a pass rusher, who's the guy that realistically you think will be there? Do you really think Jared Verse will fall there? Because I kind of think he'll be taken already by 21.
Probably, but I do think one of the big, to me, it's a big four because I love Chop Robinson from Penn State and his upside. If you want to bet on the right coaching and you know, getting the most out of a player who's only going to be 21 as a rookie, Chop Robinson would be the guy. Verse may not be there. Dallas Turner from Alabama almost assuredly won't be, but I think of the big four, two will be available, whether that's Latu and Chop Robinson. Is it Verse and Chop Robinson? It feels like Robinson is the most likely to be available at 21, and maybe even after that trade back that we've been discussing, that he could still be on the board. So if they want to go that direction and fill out some of the offensive line needs later in the draft, I do think at least two of the big four that have been talked about the most at the edge rusher spot will be there.
Yeah, Chop may even drop a little bit because of the youth. By the way, can we send a message out there to the Dolphin Nation? They're not drafting Xavier Worthy in the first round, dude. Come on, bro.
No, I don't think so. I mean, that would be fun, especially to add more speed, but I think this regime has more of a level head and understands like that's not the biggest need and maybe wouldn't meet the right value for Xavier Worthy at 21.
Dude, that's a luxury pick at this point.
Luxury pick, yes.
That's a team that's already loaded and they want to add a feature to their offense that they just say, all right, you know, we don't really need that too much. Or KC, if they want to, at the end of the round, if they want to, like, you know what, let's give Mahomes another little weapon to have some fun out there. I can see that, you know, because you're freaking KC. You're bringing Chris Jones back. You got everybody pretty much back. You can. That's a luxury pick that if KC wanted to do at 32, okay, I kind of understand it. But the Dolphins, I get it. The guy loves speed. I mean, you know, that we get it. But there's no chance. No chance, right?
And I think, too, that, I mean, this might sound silly to say this, and it's probably a good problem to have, but at that point, if you draft Xavier Worthy, there's only one football to go around. And are you lessening the impact that Tyreek Hill can make because you feel you got to throw it to Xavier Worthy? And then what about Jalen Waddle? And what about the run game? You re-sign Raheem Mostert. Exactly. Like, I think at that point, for as much as it's all about, it's kind of an arms race now to add as many weapons as possible.
Exactly.
And I think the Dolphins truly were at their best when the run game was really going. Yeah. Like, certainly the big plays from Tyreek Hill and Waddle, but the games where they just looked like unstoppable, whether it was early in the season or even down the stretch when some injuries kind of settled in, when they were running the football like the San Francisco 49ers type way and not afraid to lean on Mostert and Achan, that's when the offense was the most scary, I think, for the rest of the NFL.
McDaniel, are you listening to Chris? Stop abandoning the run, damn it! Yeah, it's one of the things that kind of pisses me off about Mike. He has this tendency of getting too cutesy with the passing game, and he overdoes it when sometimes it's all about KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Hand it off, hand it off, hand it off. Come on, man, especially when it's working. I mean, it's just, there are times that he does that, and it just drives me crazy. All right, Chris, let's move over to the second round. And one of the interesting things, you tell me because you're an expert at this, we talk about the early part where you can get some linemen, right? But it's kind of interesting that you're missing Christian Wilkins. There's actually going to be some defensive tackles available in the second round where Miami picks too. Again, this goes in the conversation of you don't want to reach by need, but your needs happen to be in reach. So, yeah, you know, so talk to me a little bit about the second round and what you're seeing there. Again, opposite of that, maybe linebacker also can be thrown in there, you know, in that part of the second round too. So talk to me a little bit about what you see there in the second round, O-line, D-line, pass rusher, linebacker, those kind of things.
Well, I'll just start off by saying the offensive line, whether it's tackle, whether it's on the interior, there's plenty of depth there, a lot of good players. If the Dolphins go in a different direction in the first round, they can get a quality blocker that fits what they want to do, like the mobility, the athleticism, the lateral quickness will be there. I also love the interior defensive line depth on day two. Chris Jenkins from Michigan, Brandon Dorlus is kind of like a, I'm not going to call him Chris Jones, but he's kind of a Chris Jones type that he's like 6'3", 290, really slippery, was a very productive pass rusher at Oregon. There's two Clemson defensive linemen that might be picked in that range. It feels like if they want to get Rook. A really good Rook. Yes, I love Rook. I love Rook. Rook. Oh, Ro is how you pronounce it. Apparently,
is that it? I need to learn that name because they might pick that one in the second. What was it again?
Rook. Oh, Ro. Truly, that's how you pronounce his name. He said it in an interview. So he's a good one. Michael Hall from Ohio State is another. So there's four or five right there where if they want to plug that hole left by Christian Wilkins signing with the Raiders.
Who's the guy you like out of that group?
I love Michael Hall the most. I think at his age, he's only going to be 20 when he's drafted, which you could think, hey, maybe that's too young. But the production that he had in the Big Ten at such a young age against 23, 24-year-olds, all with the extra COVID year, very impressive to me. The pass rush moves are there. He's a plus athlete. I think he's another one that could be in that Austin Jackson mode where in a year or two, we're like, man, Michael Hall was the steal of the interior of the defensive line class. And lastly, linebackers. What's that?
I think Roku is that guy also because he's been playing only since 11th grade.
Yeah.
He's a Nigerian kid, I think. So this is one of those cats that is just on pure talent right now is what you're watching. He hasn't really – everything hasn't really settled in with him that when it does, it could get ugly.
Rook is a really – he's a big-time specimen. He's bigger, longer, and stronger than Michael Hall, so a different type, which I know that's kind of what Christian Wilkins was. He was this guy that could control blockers. He was great against the run, a pretty good pass rusher. With Rook from Clemson, that's kind of what I see. He was an older prospect, just like Christian Wilkins was, who played a lot of football at Clemson. The one thing that I wanted to mention is linebacker. It feels like right around where the Dolphins pick at 55 in round two, that's where the off-ball linebackers are going to start coming off the board. Maybe we see Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M picked a little earlier, but Peyton Wilson from NC State, Cedric Gray from North Carolina, three down modern-day linebackers who can cover, they can blitz, they're pretty good against the run. So if they wanted to fill a couple holes at the second level at linebacker, I think they could do it there again. So it's kind of the needs and where this draft is deep and where it's not. The one thing I will say, the edge rusher class, I don't love it on day two, but beyond that, it all kind of aligns with what the Dolphins need on their roster.
Braswell, is he?
I like him.
You like him? Bama kid?
Early second, though, it feels like.
Okay, early second. Okay, all right. Yeah, that would be it. All right, so they don't have a 3 or 4, so I'm not going to get into that. But just for fun, Chris, give me one or two third-day picks that, you know, under-the-radar guys, because that's what they are there, that you love, that you think could be steals.
Chris Abrams-Drain, the corner from Missouri. I know his teammate, Ennis Rakestraw, is getting a lot more buzz. But I saw someone, and I think it's important, and really Kader Kohou has been kind of this guy for the Dolphins early on. But to have that little feisty nickel corner that can maybe play some safety, maybe play on the outside, Chris Abrams-Drain from Missouri is that type to me. There's so many in this class. How about wide receiver? What about Jermaine Burton? If the Dolphins do want to add a day three wide receiver, Alabama's Jermaine Burton, down the field, vertical speed, tracks it awesomely, but there's apparently some maturity or some off-the-field concerns. He's played at a bunch of different schools dating back to high school. I've talked to a couple of sources that said this is like a second or a third-round talent who might be available fourth, fifth, even maybe the sixth round in this draft. And we know that when it comes to speed and getting down the field, McDaniel will kind of pound the table for that player. Another name that I just want to throw out here being on this Miami radio show.
Hold on. Let me add to your point right now. Not only will McDaniel be in love maybe with the talent, but Greer will take chances on,
good question,
guys. He's already done it over the last couple of years. He'll get rid of them quickly when they screw up, but he'll take a chance on a guy and he'll bring him in and then he'll just have a short leash on the guy and he'll say, we'll bring you in, we'll give you a chance, but if you screw up, you're out of here right away. And so he'll do that. So you hit on something there. That and he's Alabama, so you know, there's a couple of things there. So there's talent, there's Alabama, and there's trouble, and they will take those kind of chances at times. So,
and certainly without knowing all the details of what's up with Jermaine Burton's draft stock, it's hard for me to have a definitive thought on him, but just on the field, I certainly think he's at least a day two talent. And for as much as, you know, people want Xavier Worthy to go to the Dolphins in the first round, I would just in terms of value, much rather have Jermaine Burton in like round five to, again, roll the dice there to see. The one other thing that I want to mention, a few sources have mentioned to me, watch out for Jatavion Sanders, the tight end from Texas, okay, to Miami at some point in this draft. They signed Jonnu Smith, but Sanders is another one, very fast, was a big-time recruit, very athletic, move tight end where he's not going to be in line, but he can be in the slot, he can be in the backfield on one snap, then he can be in line. I think the versatility, and like you're mentioning with the offensive lineman, the mobility and just the ease at which he gets in and out of his breaks, I think Mike McDaniel will like Jatavion Sanders quite a bit.
So what I'm trying to think, you know, if we're spitballing here and having some fun with this, if you move down for Jackson Powers into the back end of the 20s and you're able to get him and you get that extra third rounder.
Yes.
Boom. Boom.
There you go. That's
where Sanders would go. Third round, yep, right?
Yep. Second, third round. That's where it kind of feels like he'll be picked.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm figuring, that if you get that extra pick, a guy like Sanders could be an option. Because you have Jonnu Smith signed for only a couple of years. So you kind of groom the other kid, and then, or you attack with two tight ends. If he's willing, mm-hmm, if he's willing and able to make plays right away, then all of a sudden you've got two tight ends working the field. Jonnu Smith, I think, is going to be a big part of the offense.
For sure.
He's one of the three fastest tight ends in the NFL. That alone is going to get Mike McDaniel to use him, and he can actually catch the ball. So, you know, you're that's pretty good stuff. All right, Chris, what can people do to follow you, and what are you working on this week?
Just at Twitter, at Chris Trapasso. And then really my big thing, I posted my top 280 prospect big board at CBS. And then during the draft, if you, outside of following along with UO, if they want to follow along with the NFL draft tracker at CBS, from the second round, Pete Prisco's on the grades the first round, but from the second round all the way through pick 257, Mr. Irrelevant, I'll be doing the live grades for every pick at CBS Sports. So follow that draft tracker during the draft Friday and Saturday.
Chris, you're a stud. Thank you, my brother. Enjoy Christmas week here in the NFL, my friend. We will catch
thanks,
up
Big O. A lot.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
There you go. Chris Trapasso, man. Excellent work. And, of course, great conversation. Get a little draft talk for you guys there, as promised. We told you we'd give you a bunch of draft talk this week.